Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Pei Beis. We got to the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph yesterday. We are going to start with the Mishnah on top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Today, she was sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for his continued sponsorship. Today, we are going to focus on primarily two topics. The first topic, which is going to be comprised of the first Mishnah that we're going to learn on Amud Aleph, is all about tinokos and like young children or minors, how far in advance of their bar or bat mitzvah do we try to teach them, do we try to be mechanech them in fasting on Yom Kippur? That halach of chinuch is something that is unique to Yom Kippur. For other fast days, there is no inyan, there is no mitzvah of chinuch. However, on Yom Kippur, there is an inyan of chinuch, and we're going to see how far in advance of the bar bat mitzvah it applies. The Gemara here is going to be a little bit confusing because we're going to talk about, for example, the Gemara is going to refer to a bar mitzvah as the 14th year, which really means when a person hits his 13th birthday. We know that a boy is a bar mitzvah at 13, a girl is a bat mitzvah at 12. So we're going to have to follow the math that the Gemara uses, but essentially we're talking about the mitzvah of chinuch in terms of fasting. And then the Mishnah in the middle of Pei Beis Amud Aleph is going to talk about a pregnant woman who smells food on Yom Kippur and decides that she needs the food, whether she's allowed to eat a chola on Yom Kippur, whether the chola is allowed to eat, what the criteria are for determining whether the chola is going to be allowed to break his fast. So again, primarily those two topics, the inyan of chinuch on Yom Kippur and then the inyan of a chola and others who may be in a position where they have to break their fast. So says the Mishnah as follows, at the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph, Hatinokos ein ma'anin osan b'yom ha-kippurim. Tinokos, we are not ma'ane them on Yom Kippur. So in other words, we are not, we don't force them to comply with all of the halachos of Inui, and therefore explains Rashi, we are not required to prevent them from eating food on Yom Kippur. And in this respect, the halacha over here is consistent with the halacha on all other fast days. Generally on fast days, there is no inyan of chinuch. So in other words, if you want to have your 9-year-old fast on Tisha B'Av, there's no mitzvah to do that. They don't have to learn. They don't have to have any, they don't have a mitzvah of chinuch in any fast day whatsoever, except for the fast of Yom Kippur. Now, generally speaking, the Mishnah sets up tinokos, young children, they don't have to fast on Yom Kippur at all. However, aval mechanchenosan, however, we are mechanech them, meaning mechanchenosan, and Rashi is going to explain, let's first read the Mishnah, then we'll read Rashi, aval mechanchenosan lifnei shana v'lifnei shnasayim. However, we are mechanech them a year or two before they become obligated to fast. In other words, a year or two before their bar bat mitzvah, we are mechanech them b'shvil she'irigilim a mitzvah, so that they should become accustomed to performing the mitzvos, including the mitzvah of inui, including the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur. When we say mechanchenosan, so Rashi explains over here, it's kedai to read this Rashi inside, because it's going to form the basis for the rest of the Gemara that we're going to read on this topic. So mechanchenosan l'shaos, we are mechanech them l'shaos, we start them off by fasting for a couple of hours at a time. Lefnei shana, she smucha lepirkan, for a year, which is samach lepirkan, that means before they become an adult. Pirkan, have a ben shalosh eshrei l'nekeva. Here's what I was referring to when I said that the language used in the Gemara and Rashi is a little confusing, because we're now describing the perek of a young girl as 13, but that's not true because the girl is about mitzvah when she's 12. So this means when she enters her 13th year, meaning on her 12th birthday, v'arba'asar l'zachar, and 14th year for a zachar, shederek tinokos lavi shtei saros b'shtei mesrei v'yom echad. Now we're back to talking about the normal way for describing godless for a girl, because generally a girl will develop two saros when she's 12 in a day. Dahainu betoch shnas yud gimel. That is in her 13th year. So when we say 13 for a girl, we really mean 12. V'yipirkon la'onshin, and that's when they become a bas mitzvah. V'tinok, and for a boy, biyud gimel v'yomechad, he generally develops shtei saros when he's 13 and a day. Nimsa shnas yudalid pirkon la'onshin, so that is, in other words, his 14th year. V'shnas yud gimel, he is shanas muchala pirko. So in other words, for a boy, when he's 12, that's the shanas muchala perek. V'shnas yud beis, he shanas lefnei shanas muchala pirko. And when the boy turns 11, that is 2 years before his perek. That is 2 years before his bar mitzvah. And similarly, for a girl, the girl's mechuyif to start fasting when she's 12. So according to the Mishnah, when do we have to be mechanech or l'shos? It's either when she's 11 or when she's 10. A boy who's younger than 11 or a girl who's younger than 10, according to the Mishnah, they don't have to do anything. They don't have to do anything whatsoever, and they don't have to do anything whatsoever. Okay, so we see halacha that tinokos don't have to fast on Yom Kippur. However, closer to their bar bat mitzvah, we're going to start training them l'shos, according to Rashi, in order so that they should learn how to fast. They should be accustomed to fasting so that when they hit bar bat mitzvah, they'll be able to fast on Yom Kippur without a problem. So says the Gemara, the language in the Mishnah is a little bit strange here, because hashta b'fnei shtayim echanchin lehu b'fnei shnanami ba'ilei. If you're going to start training them to fast l'shos 2 years before their bar bat mitzvah, certainly 1 year before their bar bat mitzvah, they're going to have to be fasting. So why in the Mishnah does it say that you have to be mechanek them lefnei shana v'lefnei shasayim? Just say 2 years, just say lefnei shasayim, 2 years before the bar bat mitzvah, you're mechanek them. And I would already know that if I'm mechanek them 2 years before, obviously then I'm mechanek them 1 year before. So I'm Rav Chista, lo kasha ha b'chole ha b'bari. Ah, no, it's not a kasha, because we're talking about one is by a chola, one is by a bari. So in other words, by a chola, by a child who's sort of weak, then we're mechanech them l'shos only 1 year before their bar bat mitzvah. When we're talking about a child who's a stronger child, then we're going to be mechanech that child even 2 years before their, even that we're going to be mechanech them even 2 years before their bar or bat, their bar bat mitzvah. So Rashi explains that chola means tashas kocho, that he's a weaker child. The Bach has an interesting shita where he says that any tinok who learns Torah is considered to be a chola, and therefore we only are mechanech them 1 year before their bar bat mitzvah, because anybody who learns Torah is tashas kocho. Anybody who learns Torah is mateshas kocho, and therefore they're all considered to be a chola, and therefore the Bach paskins that we abide by the shorter end of this range of chinuch when it comes to teaching a child how to fast before their bar bat mitzvah on Yom Kippur. So again, we had said in the Mishnah that for a year or two before the bar bat mitzvah, we start to be mechanech them l'shos. We asked if you're mechanech them 2 years before, certainly you're mechanech them 1 year before. The Gemara explained, no, it's 1 or 2 years depending on the type, depending on the nature of the child. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, now we're going to have something that is totally not what the Mishnah just said, but let's read it. So Amar Rav Huna, ben ches u ben tes, mechanchen oso. When a person is either 8 or 9, we are mechanech them l'shos. So we're going to be mechanech them l'shos. In other words, ben ches is for a girl. Ben tes is for a boy. So in other words, now what we're saying is 4 years before we are mechanech them l'shos. Ben yud uben yud aleph mashlimin midrabanan. Then for 10 or 11, we're mashlim them midrabanan. Ben yud beis mashlimin midaraisa bitinokas. So that's talking about by a girl. So again, by a girl, when she's 8 and 9, we're mechanech l'shos. When she's 10 and 11, she's mashlim midrabanan. When she's 12, she has to fast midaraisa. So even though in the Mishnah we only spoke about mechanchen l'shos, and we said that for a year or two we're mechanech l'shos, so this braisa does say that for a year or two we're mechanech l'shos, but it's mechanech l'shos for 4th and 3rd year before the bat mitzvah. And then for the 2 years immediately preceding the bat mitzvah, there's going to be an inyan of hashlama midrabanan. Once she's a bas mitzvah, then she has to be mashlim or fast, obviously, on a daraisa level. So that's by a tinokes. So Rav Nachman Amar, and now Rav Nachman says, so that was the sheet of Rav Huna. Now Rav Nachman says, Ben Tes Ben Yud Mechanchino Solishos. When a boy is 9 or 10, we're Mechanichim Lishos. Ben Yud Uben Yud Aleph Mashlimim Midrabanan. When the boy is 11 or 12, we are Mashlimim Midrabanan. He has to complete his fast on a Midrabanan level. Ben Yud Gimel Mashlimim Midaraisa Betinok. And when he's 13 and he's a boy, then he becomes a bar mitzvah, then he is mashlim as fast on a deraisa level. So again, according to both Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, there are 4 years of chinuch, not only 2 years of chinuch. Even though in the Mishnah we spoke about 2 years of chinuch, here according to this braisa, there are going to be 4 years of chinuch. Only one was talking about a girl, and therefore he started a year earlier. One was talking about a boy, and therefore he started a year later. Now the shita, the Gemara brings down a third shita. Rav Yochanan Amar, and Rav Yochanan says, Ashlama Drabanan Leka. There is no halacha of Ashlama Drabanan. That wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. You'll recall what was mentioned in the Mishnah was only Mechanchen Lishos. There was no Indian of Ashlama Drabanan. And therefore, Rav Yochanan says, Ashlama Drabanan Leka. And therefore, Ben Yud Aleph, Mechanchenoso Lishos, that when a girl is 10 and 11, we're Mechanecher Lishos, Ben Yud Beis Mashlimin Midaraisa. That's talking about a girl, obviously. And by a boy, it would be when the boy's 11 and 12 are mechanchen l'shos, and when he's 13, he's mashlim midaraisa. So it seems that Rav Yochanan is consistent with our Mishnah, whereas Rav Huna and Rav Nachman seem to have added this concept of ashlama midrabanan, and therefore they actually start being mechanic children and fasting 4 years before the bar bat mitzvah, not only 2 years before the bar bat mitzvah. So says the Gemara, Tanan. Hatinokas ein ma'ananos on Yom Kippurim. Now the Gemara quotes our Mishnah. Tinokos, we are not ma'ana them on Yom Kippur. We don't have to cause them to refrain from eating on Yom Kippur. Avol mechanchen osan lifnei shana v'lifnei shtayim. However, we're mechanich them for a year or two before. So says the Gemara, bishlama l'Rav Huna l'Rav Nachman. So I understand according to the sheet of Rav Huna and the sheet of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, livnei shana v'livnei shtayim, livnei shana b'chole l'divrayim, v'livnei shnayim b'chole l'divrayim. So in other words, what this means, livnei shana l'divrayim v'livnei shnayim l'divrei Torah. So in other words, you have to look at what Rav Nachman and Rav Huna were saying. So again, here the math gets a little bit confusing. But the way the Mefarshim explain it is as follows. So when he talks, so let's say when Rav Huna talks about Ben Ches or Ben Tes, he means that it's Ben Ches for a Bari, Ben Tes for a Chola. So in other words, a healthy child will always have 2 years of these types of chinuch. A sicker child, a weaker child, will only have 1 year of this type of chinuch. So in other words, when a child is either 10 or 11, when the girl is either 10 or 11, we're going to be mashlim her midrabanan, meaning that if she's a healthy child, then she's going to be mashlim midrabanan 2 years before her bat mitzvah when she's 10. And when she's a sicker child, we're going to be mashlim her only 1 year before her bat mitzvah, which is when she's 11. So when it says lifnei shana v'lifnei shtayim, because in other words, before the bar or bat mitzvah, before the bar or bat mitzvah, there were two stages of chinuch. There's lifnei shana v'lifnei shtasayim. 2 years before, or maybe 3 years before, depending on whether she's a chola or not. But there's a first stage of chinuch, which is misanin l'shos. And then there's a second stage of chinuch, which is mashlimim midrabanan. And all of that happens before she actually becomes obligated, or he actually becomes obligated to complete his fast on a deraisa level. So the reason that the Gemara is confusing is because lifnei shana v'lifnei shnasayim, it appears to fit more in the shita of Rav Yochanan, but the Gemara is explaining that I understand according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, lifnei shana v'lifnei shnasayim, because the types of chinuch are qualitatively different. There's a type of chinuch which is a misana l'shos. There's also a type of chinuch which is mashlimim drabanan, and therefore I understand why the Mishnah uses that strange type of lashon. Elul Rav Yochanan kasha, but according to Rav Yochanan, it's a kasha. And Rashi explains, why is it a kasha on Rav Yochanan? So we should read this one inside. So it's Rashi about 5-6 lines before the lines get wide. So he says, L'didei lo masukmas isin klal, darminan ashlama d'rabanan leka, that he says that there is no halacha of ashlama d'rabanan. The tema masnisin, chadak tani, kedu kimna, alib d'rav huna v'rav nachman, v'reisha b'chola v'seifa b'bari, kedu kimna, rav chistanami lo sukma d'mas nisin k'tani shalosh l'bari v'shnayim l'chola, rav yochanan amar shtayim l'bari v'achas l'chola. But according to Rav Yochanan, it's going to be a kasha. So what does a year or two mean according to Rav Yochanan in the Mishnah? So Amar Lecha Rav Yochanan, my shana o shtayim, what does it mean when it says shana o shtayim samuch lepirkan? It means a year or two samuch lepirkan. So what does that mean, a year or two samuch lepirkan? So Rashi over here explains the first wide line. So Amar Lecha Rav Yochanan, lo tisni levnei shana demashma shtayim, v'levnei shtayim demashma gimel shanim, ela'ema mechanchen oso shana samach leperek b'chola v'shnayim labari. So, in other words, whereas Rav Huna and Rav Nachman were saying that when the Mishnah was talking about mechanchen l'shos, it actually meant mechanchen l'shos before the stage of Ashlama Midrabanan, which itself was before the stage of Ashlama Midaraisa. According to Rav Yochanan, there is no Ashlama Midrabanan. So basically what the Gemara's answer is, according to the Rav Yochanan, fits best with the Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said, we don't force kids to fast, but a year or two before their Bar Bat Mitzvah, they have to fast l'shos. And that's exactly what Rav Yochanan says. It's not a kasha according to Rav Yochanan, it's a bigger kasha according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Because Rav Huna and Rav Nachman were saying that, yes, there is an inyan of chinuch l'shos, but the inyan of chinuch l'shos is before the status of Ashlama Midrabanan, and therefore you have to kvetch into their interpretation, livnei shanav, livnei shatayim. No, it means a year or two before the time when it's Ashlama Midrabanan, which itself is before the time which is Ashlama Midaraisa. The Mishnah doesn't say any of that. So basically, if you want to read the Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah, it's Rav Yochanan who fits into the Mishnah and not Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, because he doesn't hold from this concept of Hashlama Midrabanan at all. Okay, says the Gemara now, first wide line. Tashma, Detani Rabba Bar Shmuel, Tinokos, Ein Ma'anen Osam Yom Kippurim, we don't force them to fast on Yom Kippur. Aval Mechanchen Osan Shana Oshtayim, Samach Lepirkan. However, we are mechanech them for a year or two before their bar bat mitzvah. So bishlam el Rav Yochanan nicha. So I understand, according to Rav Yochanan, this is great. And now this Gemara is very interesting, because first it starts by asking a question on Rav Yochanan. Again, as we said, even the Rav Yochanan Shita is seemingly the one that fits with the Mishnah. And then we have to try to twist it why, okay, Rav Yochanan really makes sense with the Mishnah. Now, finally, the Gemara gets to asking the question that would all make sense to us intuitively if we read the Mishnah and then we read the Shitas. Because again, the Mishnah says a year or two of chinuch. Rav Yochanan is the one who says a year or two of chinuch, because he doesn't hold from Ashlama Midrabanan. So a year or two before the Bar Bat Mitzvah, we have to start being mechanic lem l'shos. So Tashma, the Tani, Rabba Bar Shmuel, Tinokos, Ein Ma'anos, Abba Yom Kippurim, Aval Mechanchanos, Shano, Shtayim, Samuch Lepirkan. Bishlam al Rav Yochanan nicha. I understand, according to Rav Yochanan, great, a year or two, 2 years for a healthy child, a year for a sicker child. El Rav Huna v'lo Rav Nachman kasha. But according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, it's a kasha, because Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, one was talking about a boy, and one was talking about a girl. But remember, they had 4 years of chinuch. They had first 2 years of, potentially 2 years of chinuch l'shos, and 2 years potentially of hashlama midrabanan. So how do they interpret the Mishnah when we clearly talk about the maximum of 2 years of chinuch? How in the world can they talk about 4 years of chinuch? So says the Gemara, my chinuch nami diktani hashlama. Ah, no, maybe when Rav Hun and Rav Nachman, they'll interpret the Mishnah, that when the Mishnah says, mechanchen oso, levnei shana, velefnei shnasayim, remember, the Mishnah never says mechanchen l'shos. It was Rashi who explained that a year or two before the Bar Bat Mitzvah were mechanchen l'shos. They would hold, maybe, that when we say mechanchen, it doesn't mean l'shos, but it means that we train them to be mashlim the tanis on a drabanan level. So you're going to ask, how do Rav Huna and Rav Nachman interpret the Mishnah? Well, it's simple. They interpret the Mishnah because in the Mishnah, when it says that we're mechanech them for a year or two before their Bar Bat Mitzvah, it means we force them to complete the fast a year or two before their Bar Bat Mitzvah. Yes, it's true, there is chinuch even before that l'shos, But that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. Says the Gemara, is that really what chinuch is? Mikori lechinuch hashlama? But would we actually refer to hashlama as chinuch? Is this a tenable explanation? Vatanya eze chinuch, but we have a brisa. What is chinuch? If a person is accustomed to eating 2 hours into the day, we force him to wait until 3 hours into the day to eat. If a person usually eats 3 hours into the day, we force him to wait until 4 hours into the day. So Amar Rava Bar Ula, Trei Chinuchei Ave. So says Rava Bar Ula, yes, there are two types. There are two types of chinuch. So there is a type of chinuch which is mechanchen also l'shos. That's what we start with. Then there's another type of chinuch which is, now that you've grown slowly accustomed to deferring, to delaying your eating, then there's a type of chinuch where we're going to force them to complete their entire fast on a drabbanan level. So both Rav Huna and Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan make sense according, or you could fit their shitas into the Mishnah. And when both of them can fit. Rav Yochanan fits because he doesn't hold from Hashlama v'drabanan, and therefore the Mishnah is pashut. Rav Huna, Rav Nachman fits because even though they hold there's more years of chinuch, when the Mishnah says 2 years of chinuch, we're only talking about the chinuch that is Hashlama v'drabanan. So what do we do la'alacha? So la'alacha the Shulchan Aruch paskins that we start chinuch at the age of 9. Or 10 for the age of 9 for a boy. Vashlama midrabanan starts at the age of 11. So that's basically like the shita of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. And we're mashlim midaraisa when the boy turns 13. And again, as we mentioned, that this halacha of chinuch only applies by Yom Kippur. It does not apply by the other Tanios. So by the other Tanios, there is no reason to force children to fast. This is only a special halacha for Yom Kippur, as we've seen, either 2 years before or potentially 4 years before. Pick your shita in the Gemara. Okay, says the next Mishnah. So uberes shehirecha. So a pregnant woman who smells food or drink on Yom Kippur and therefore is craving the food or drink. So is she allowed to eat? So before we get to that, so the Ramban and other Rishonim hold that it's lav dafka ubra, it's lav dafka a pregnant woman. It could be even by any other man or woman who wants to eat, and if their face, if their complexion changes because it's obvious that they're in such great distress, because they really are craving food and they're not able to eat the food, then the halacha that we're going to read in the Mishnah about an ubra, about a pregnant woman would apply to those sick people as well. The Ramban says that the chiddush here about a pregnant woman is that we would feed the pregnant woman if she's craving, even if the sakana is only to the vlad and the sakana is not to the woman herself, we would still feed the woman just on account of the vlad, on account of the fetus. And that's the chiddush in why the Mishnah uses the example of a pregnant woman. The Rush says that there is no such thing where it's a sakana only to the vlad and not a sakana to the woman. Because if it's a sakana to the vlad, so what's going to happen to the woman, God forbid? So God forbid the woman's going to miscarry. Once the woman miscarries, then it's a sakana to her. So says the Rush, there's no such thing that it's only a sakana to the vlad and not to the woman. Because by definition, when it's a sakana to one, it's inherently a sakana to the other. So uvarash ubrashari richa. So if we have a pregnant woman who smells food, who's craving food, machilinosa achetesheb nafsha, then we have to feed her until she has yishev adas, until her mind is at ease. Chole, if we have a sick person, machilinosa alpi bekiyim, we are machilim on alpi bekiyim. So bekiyim means two doctors, because it says bekiyim b'loshen rabim. So in other words, if there were two doctors who agree that the person's going to be in a state of sakana if he or she doesn't eat, then we could give him food on Yom Kippur. We're going to see in the Gemara in tomorrow's daf what happens if there are no doctors, what happens if there are a couple of doctors and the doctors disagree. Do we listen to the chola? Do we listen to one of the doctors? Lively discussion. We'll see all that tomorrow. But a chola, we feed him al pi bekiyim, al pi doctors. Memein shamakiyim. And if there are no biki in there, if there are no doctors, so then we have to trust the chola himself, and we could feed him until he says enough. I don't need any more food. So says the Gemara now. Tana Rabbanan, uvra sheiricha basar kodesh. Let's say you have a pregnant woman who has a craving for basar kodesh. So kachim o basar chazir, or she wants pork. So chotchin la kush berotev. So we stick a spoon into the soup, into the sauce, let's say, of the pork chops, umanichim la alpia, and we put the spoon on her mouth. Imnis yashva data mutav. If she has yishva das from this, if that satisfies her, then great. V'imlav machilin ozo rotav atzma. And if not, then we could go a step further and we could feed the woman the gravy in which the pork was cooking, and we could actually give her to eat that. Vimnis yashva daita mutav. If she has yishva das from that, then great. V'imlav machilin ozo shuman atzmo. And if not, then we're allowed to feed her the fat itself. In other words, we're allowed to feed the actual meat to the woman. Shein l'chadavar sh'omei b'vnei pikuach nefesh, because there's nothing that stands in the way of pikuach nefesh. Chutz mi'avodah zarah v'gilei rayos v'shvichas damim, except for avodah zarah, gilei rayos v'shvichas damim. So you have the big three. Besides the big three, if there is a situation of pikuach nefesh, such as this woman who's afraid that she's going to miscarry unless she eats this food, which is usher to her, then we don't worry about, we don't stand on ceremony, we would violate the halacha in order to make sure that this woman is safe. What we do see in the Gemara is that there is a concept of machilinosa hakal kal tchila, that even though, yes, it's true, ultimately we will be willing to allow her to violate even a very serious isser, either of eating basar chazir or eating basar kodesh, even though ultimately we will allow that, we should always try to use mitigation tactics initially. And if we can mitigate the level of the isser, then it's best to do that. And that's why we start with the least offensive and then we go to the most offensive. But ultimately, we're willing to let her eat whatever she wants because it's a situation of pikuach nefesh. So says the Gemara, Avodah Zarah Minolan. So how do we know that you're not allowed to violate the Isra of Avodah Zarah even for Pikuach Nefesh? So Ditanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Im Nemar B'chol Nafshecha, we say in Kriya Shema B'chol Lavavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Miyodecha. So if it says B'chol Nafshecha, Lama Nemar B'chol Miyodecha. In other words, what's the difference between b'chol nafshecha b'chol miyodecha? V'im nemar b'chol miyodecha, lama nemar b'chol nafshecha? So says the Gemara as follows, famous drasha, im yeshelcha adam shegufa chaviv alav mimamono, if there's a person who appreciates his life, his body, his well-being, more than his money, l'kach nemar b'chol nafshecha, therefore it says that you have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol nafshecha, meaning that it's yaharek val yavar, to serve somebody else, to serve another deity. And if there's a person whose mamon is more precious to him than his guf, so therefore it says b'chol miyodecha, that that you have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your money. So when, in other words, when it says b'chol avavcha, b'chol miyodecha, the pasuk is talking about two different types of people. If you place primacy on your physical health and well-being, you have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol avavcha. If you place a primacy on your money and on your financial stability, then you have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your money. The Gra asks, is there really such a person who loves his money more than himself? That's sort of stupid, because if you're not alive, then your money doesn't do anything for you. So how could it be that you love your money more than your life and more than your well-being? So the Gra explains that what you have to say is that it means that he would prefer to be sovel yisurin, that he would prefer to be afflicted with whatever yisurin and pains, or he'd prefer to be tortured rather than to lose his money. But it doesn't really mean that he'd prefer to keep his money as opposed to keeping his life. That's a difficult explanation, though, because the Gemara is talking about Yahareg Bal Yavar. The Gemara is not talking about Yisurin, right? It's not saying, oh, would you rather that you be in a little bit of pain and you have $1 million, or would you rather that you not have any pain and that you have $100? That's not what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about Yahareg Bal Yavar, And therefore, that interpretation of the Gra is a little bit difficult. The Chidush HaRim has an interesting interpretation where he says we're talking about a person who's malveh beribis. So ordinarily speaking, if somebody is living, you want to cherish the days and the months and the years, right? You don't want life to totally pass you by, because then you blink and then it's like 40 years down the road and, you know, you start to wonder where the time went. So generally speaking, a person wants to savor the moment. Says the Chidush HaRim, you know who doesn't want to savor the moment? A person who's malveh beribis. Why? Because he's just thinking about the compound interest in his mind. And the more time that passes, the more money he gets because he's loaning beribis. And therefore, a person like that, he just wants the time to pass quickly because he wants to earn more money. And therefore, unlike normal people who savor time and try to experience life, this guy just wants everything to pass by more quickly. Okay, so that's how we know from the pasuk of b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol miyodecha, how we know that avodah zarah is a yahareg v'al yavar, that we don't allow somebody to violate avodah zarah even for pikuach nefesh. So says the Gemara, Gila Arayos v'shvichas damim minyalan. How do we know that we don't allow somebody to violate Gila Arayos v'shvichas damim even in a situation of pikuach nefesh? Titania, because we learn as follows. Rebbe Yomer, ki kasher yakum ish al re'eyu v'rotzko nefesh, keina davar azeh. So, v'chima inyan lamadnu mi roseach l'nara hamarasa. What do we learn from roseach to nara marasa? Ella hareze balalamed v'nimtza lamad. So, ma nara marasa nitan latzila b'nafsho, just like by nara marasa, you're allowed to save yourself even by killing the attempted rapist, af rotzeach, so too by rotzeach. Ma rotzeach yahareg val yavar, and just like by rotzeach, it's a yahareg val yavar, af nara marasa yahareg val yavar. Also, a nara marasa is yahareg val yavar. So what does it mean a nara marasa is yahareg val yavar? So for this, we need Rashi. So Rashi on the bottom of the page says like this. Im yomru bo'al arusos chavercha o tehareg. If a person says, let's say a guy comes over to you holding a gun and says, you have to sleep with the arusa, with the betrothed of your friend. So in other words, you have your friend, he had arusin with a woman, and this guy says to you, you have to sleep with her. And so then says Rashi, im yomru ba'al arusas chavercha o tehareg, so yahareg val yavar, so then it's an issue of yahareg val yavar. You are not allowed to violate arayos in order to save your life. You have to be killed. Aval hi eina metzuva nimsar nafsha. However, important Rashi, she is not required to be moser nefesh, to he eina osa klum, she's not doing anything, to karka olam ba'almehi. Because she is only karka olam, because in the act of cohabitation, it's the man who's required to be active. The woman can be passive and just lie there. And therefore, the man who's actively engaged in isser, for him, it's yareg val yavar. For the woman who's able to be passive, then it's not going to be te hareg val yavar. The raya for this is Esther from the Purim story, because Esther lived with Achashverosh. How could it be that Esther lived with Achashverosh? She was already married to Mordechai. How was it she was able to live with Achashverosh? And the answer is because she made herself into karka olam. Okay. So that's how we know that there is an inyan of yahareg val yavar by Gilei Arayos and by Shvichas Damin. So says the Gemara, now flipping over to Pei Beis, Amud Beis. So a rotzeach gufei minolan. So how do we know that a rotzeach itself is biyahareg v'al yavar? So how do we know that? Says the Gemara, svarahi, because it's a basic svara. Tahu dasa l'kaime de Rabba, because there was a person who came before Rabba. So Amar Lei, so he said like this. So Amar Lei, so he told Rabba, Amar Li Mari Duroi. So the governor of a certain place said to me, Katle Leplanya, I am commanding you to go kill somebody. Vilo Maktilina Lach. And if you don't kill that other person, I'm going to kill you. So Amar Lei, so Rabba, so he said to Rabba, what should I do? So Amar Lei, so Rabba said to him, Niktol Cha, Velo Tiktol. You have to be killed and you should not kill. Why? Because here comes the svara. My chazis the dami didach sumaktvei dilma damadau gavra sumaktvei. Who are you to make a decision whose blood is redder? So this guy says, I'm going to kill you if you don't kill the other guy. Who are you to prioritize your life over the other person's life? Maybe the other person's blood is
more red than yours. So there was a din in the Achronim, what exactly the
Cheshbon is. Is it because everybody is equal? And so if everybody is equal, so what gives you the right to take the other person's life instead of your life? Or if the reason that you need to be killed is because if you're killed, it's a sheval tase. Whereas if you kill somebody else, then it's actually going to be a kum vase. So Adian in the Achronim, what exactly the svara is? But the Gemara says a svara that
if somebody says you must kill somebody else, otherwise you will be killed yourself. You have to let yourself be killed. And this is because Gilei Arayos, Avodah Zarah, Shfichas Damim, it's all Yahareg Val Yaver. You're not allowed to violate those big three Yisurim. Rather, you have to submit to being killed.
Says the Gemara now, Ahu Ubara, the Archa, there was a pregnant woman who smelled food on Yom Kippur. So Azul Kaimei de Rabbi, rather. So she came before Rabbi. So Amarle, Zilu Lechushalo de Yom Kippurim Hu. You know what? Go remind her that it's Yom Kippur. I know that she's craving. Maybe she doesn't really remember that it's Yom Kippur. So Lechushalo Vilchisha. So they told her that it's Yom Kippur, and her hunger pangs subsided. So Kariyale Beterem Itzarcha Bebeten Yidaticha. And he said about this woman, you know, I've created you, and even in the Beten, even in the womb, you've known me, because basically by whispering to the woman that it was Yom Kippur, they were able to allay your cravings. So it's obvious that the fetus was even cognizant of the fact that it was Yom Kippur after they told her it was Yom Kippur, and therefore the hunger pangs and the craving subsided. Nafak minei Rav Yochanan. She obviously was a holy woman. The Uber was a holy fetus, and therefore Rav Yochanan came from this woman. Hahi Ubra, there was another woman who was not such a tzadekes. The Archa, well, not, we shouldn't say not such a tzadekes, but another story with a different ending. So Ubra da Archa. So there was a woman who was craving food because she smelled food on Yom Kippur. So also Lekame de Rav Chanina. So she came before Rav Chanina. Amar Lahu. So he said, "Lechushula." So go whisper to her again that it's Yom Kippur. Maybe she's going to appreciate that it's Yom Kippur, and therefore she's not going to demand food anymore. Velo ilchisha. However, it didn't work. So by the first woman, it did work. The second woman said, "I know it's Yom Kippur, but I still need my food." So kari alea. So they said about her, "Zoru rishon mirechem," that Rishoim are estranged from the womb, and Nafak Minei Shabtei Otsar Peri, and she had not a wonderful child like Rav Yochanan, but she had a child who was not such a good guy, Shabtai the hoarder of Peros. What is Shabtai the hoarder of Peros? So Otsar Peri, so says Rashi, Lafkia Shiarim. He used to hoard Peros because that would cause the prices to go up, because he basically manipulated the market and he created a shortage. Vatanya in Otsrim Peros Beretz Yisrael, Bechol Dover Shu Chai Nefesh Lafisha Mafkia Nesasharim. And therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, there are not supposed to be hoarders of Peros because they manipulate the market, and therefore they cause prices to go up and they cause inflation, and then people can't afford to put food on the table. So two different Maisos with the pregnant woman, even though we had said that the pregnant woman is allowed to break her fast on Yom Kippur. Obviously, there's a mila if she doesn't after internalizing that it's Yom Kippur. And therefore, from the woman who was able to conquer her craving, Rav Yochanan emanated from her. From the woman who was unable to conquer her craving, one of these, market manipulating lowlives emanated from her. All right, so we'll stop here, and tomorrow we will get into the discussion of a chole and when a chole is allowed to eat and under what circumstances can the doctor say that the chole should break his or her fast on Yom Kippur. I hope everybody has a great day, and David, have a good Shabbos as well. I will see you hopefully on Sunday morning.